Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you notice the scripture I put down here, the Lord restores and strengthens me. But yet there was so much in our readings today, I thought, what do I talk about? You know, because as we got into the gospel lesson, look at everything that is there. You know, the wedding feast is a tremendous parable that was told to us. So I got to thinking, all right, we've had a lot of texts that talk about like the honor of armor of God, what's been protecting us, that kind of thing. And so I started doing some research on this, being strengthened and restoring. Here's what came up when I was doing this. And I actually shared this on my Facebook, if you've seen it. Did you know that Psalm 118 is the middle chapter of the entire Bible? Okay. Psalm 117, the one before Psalm 118, is the shortest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, which is the one after Psalm 118, is the longest chapter in the Bible. So, the Bible has 594 chapters before Psalm 118, and guess how many after? 594 after Psalm 118. So, if you add up all the chapters except Psalm 118, you get a total of 1,188 chapters. 118:8. Interesting. All right, so verse 8 of Psalm 118 is the middle verse of the Bible. Shouldn't that verse that's in the very middle of the Bible have an important meaning? Let's see what it says. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Boy, there. Okay, I can sit down now and go back. There's the message, isn't it? You know, but let's look at this for a second. One of the most important verses in the Bible are, many are called, but few are chosen. Have you all been called? Stop and think about that for a second. Are you sitting here? Yes. When you're called, do you have different jobs that you do? Okay. If we had to look at that, David, what's your calling? I'm going to look at you for a second. Maintenance. Is that an important job? Yeah. Bev, what's yours? President. Leadership. Dean, what's yours? The draft. Well, actually, that doesn't sound too bad. We are Lutheran, by the way. Okay. He's the person in charge of the money, so he's got an important job. You know, when we are called to do different jobs. Some of us are even prophets. Some of us are called as preachers. I'm still learning, but getting better. And it's always fun in here because we have four ministers sitting in here who are retired who are always evaluating what I do. Oh, boo. That's true. But, you know, seriously, when we start talking about what preaching is, it is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, so many times people want to change the gospel into rules. Why? Why? You're right. because rules are easy to follow, aren't they? Oh, I don't have to think. Boy, here's the rule. I got to do that. You know, so God gave us 10. How many did the Jews come up with? 613. Okay. What was that about God and not man? With me? You know, so when we start looking at things like that, it's important that we remember God's in charge.
David said, I'd rather be judged by God than by
you. Oh, amen. Amen on that. All right, so what does that mean? Who's responsible for judging us? God. You know, the thing is, on the last days, okay, when you get into John, the book of John, and you start looking about what's going to happen on the last day, what does John do? He turns it into a trial, right? Okay. And Jesus is the judge. In Greek, it's called Pantocrator. That's the judge of all things, okay? All judge is what the word translate says. But yet, Jesus is supposed to be our advocate, isn't he? But who, according to John, is our advocate? Holy Spirit, okay? But yet, aren't Jesus and the Holy Spirit one? I find that section to be very interesting. Because what it is telling us, that when we go on the last day and be judged, are we really going to be judged negatively? Why not? Because we're members of the choir, okay? It's the people who are not believers, it's the people who have done evil in their lives that are the ones that have to worry a little bit. Because what's going to happen to them? What does it say here? Therefore, get this here. And he was speechless. He said to him, friend, how did you get here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. Is that going to happen to us? No. Okay. Exactly. Pagans, the people who know Jesus but reject him. You know, and the thing is, on your deathbed, now here's the beautiful thing about Christianity. Lord, forgive me. Will Jesus forgive him? Will he be in heaven? I think sometimes it will surprise us who we run into in heaven. Because if they weren't really bad and got stuck in bad situations and they asked for forgiveness, forgiveness is freely, freely given. All right, so as we're looking at some of our readings today, the Lord restores me and strengthens me. Is that important? That's probably the most important thing of what I'm talking about today. Do we all make mistakes? What do you got to do when you make a mistake? Ask for forgiveness, and it's freely given. You know, one of the things we've talked about in here a lot is the cross is the most important thing in human history. Everything from the past leans forward to the cross, and everything past the cross leans back to it. So when we start looking at that, every good thing comes to us from the cross. Because as we look at the cross, we have the upright. Power from heaven comes down through the cross. Then what happens? It comes through the side things, which then become a conduit to us. That's what Luther says. Now, that conduit is feeding us with forgiveness, with love, with peace, with joy, all the gifts of the Spirit, right? What happens if we don't forgive? We're not forgiven. Because if you stop what's flowing from there through you, it's not going to go out. And therefore, you stopped it, you're not. Okay? What about restoration? Does the Lord restore us? Yes. So he restores us. What has to happen? We have to restore others. We've got to share that with others. What about being strengthened in the Lord? It's the same thing, isn't it? We as Christians are really blessed. We are chosen to go out and do that. Many are called, but few are chosen. But folks, you are the chosen ones. So be representatives of Jesus Christ. Share the love, forgiveness, restoration, and strength with those around you. I'm going to explain a word here. Be Christ's vicar on earth. When Christ went to the cross, he went, which is in called Latin, vicarious atonement. Well, what does it mean to atone, make up for, right? Okay. Anybody know what vicarious means? Say it again. Go ahead, Gene. It means you stand in the place of. And when I was a practice pastor, I was called a vicar. Why? Because I stand in the place of the pastor. A substitute, but somebody who's learning. But yet, can we be the vicar of Jesus Christ? Yes. Because we're standing here, we're showing God's love. I'm looking at you. Yeah, stop and think about that for a second. Yeah, you can be. Does it mean we have all the power of him? No. But once we share that, it's great. All right, Pastor Coley was supposed to be here, and they started playing games with the seminary. For those of you who have been here for a while, Pastor Coley is the pastor, I'm trying to think, I think it's Grace Lutheran Church in Cotton Tree, Liberia. He was just elected president of the Liberian Lutheran Church, black African, okay? One of the greatest theologians I've ever met. He's just finishing up his doctorate. He's got a church, and about 5 years ago, I showed you a bunch of pictures. His church was falling apart. So Goodyear donated 400 rubber trees to the church to build the new church. And it was really interesting. What I'll do is I'll put some of these pictures on the church website, or church Facebook page. What he did was he started with the people. They asked for two chainsaws, and they built the church. They made mud bricks. They fired some of them for the outside. They built the church. And I said, "Why don't, with the money coming in, why don't you just get somebody to build it for it?" No. We build our church. Interesting, isn't it? They took responsibility for building a church. It's a huge church. And he's got 400 or 500 members. Okay. They also have a school. In Liberia, there's no public education, so the only way you can get educated is to go to a church school. He's got 250 kids in this church school. And he can educate a kid for around $200, $225 a year. So he has a lot of money coming in, but he's got a lot of teachers that donate a lot of their time too. But that's the only way they're going to get out of this. So we got to talking about, what do you do? Because he has a lot of people joining every month. He's got a catechism class that's probably 25 people a month. And they're Muslim. They worship animals and they worship ancestors. But they're coming to Jesus. And I said, well, how do you get that many? He says, I don't. He said, these people get so excited about Jesus Christ, they go out and tell everybody. They're strengthened by the power of the word, and they're the best people to go out and witness. Because they don't know theology, they just know Jesus. So when Jesus restores us, he strengthens us, he calls us, we are chosen to be his vicar and to do his will. And what a blessing that is. Now, from Philippians 4, may this joy that this calling and choosing may keep your hearts and minds on Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.